very fucking unprofessional.
Unprofessional as fuck podcast.
Go.
Unprofessional as fuck podcast.
This is without a shadow of a doubt the talk of the town. What your town is talking about? Unprofessional as fuck with your host Ruck. It's episode 229. Y'all listening to this? DJ Billy Knight presents up next. Home team, man. It's the brother Jay Smack, Mike Rose, into you. Keep a secret swear. That's why you see it with a smirk when she sneakers there. You got all your girls asking why you peeping here. Trying to tell y'all, if y'all got some music, please submit that. unprofessionalafpodcast@gmail.com. We're going to get your shit rocking. Gotta get straight to it, man. Can't waste no more time. If I told y'all about the time that was wasted today, you wouldn't even believe me, man. I've been kind of, you know, setting things up. I was like, yo, Wednesday is gonna be a light day. Tuesday is gonna be a light day, right? So what I'm gonna do, get the show prepared, get everything in preparation done on a Monday. Had it already good to go last night. Didn't really want to start the pod last night. It was gonna be a late one. Figured, you know what I mean, get a good start on the morning. Go do the few things you got to do, get back and get to it, right? That was the intentions.
What the feezy?
Definitely not what happened. Get up a little later than expected, right? Woke up in the middle of the night, kind of couldn't fall back to sleep for a minute, so I had me a little groggy in the morning. Get up, finally get to it, get out the door. Realize I locked myself out, don't have the car keys. Ain't that about a bitch? End of the day, really, what are you going to do, though, right? It's on me, nobody else to blame. Finally get a hold of my wife, man. I'm telling you, I done called her job maybe about 10, 12 times, getting straight to the voicemail, like the automated message. Call her phone, she ringing and ringing and ringing. I'm like, yo, thank God it's not like a real emergency situation right now, just me fucking up. Went even to the lengths of hitting mom. She got a spare key to the crib. She lived right down the way, so I was like, yo. Didn't want to call her and wake her up on no bullshit. I could really wait. I know eventually my wife's going to get back to me, but I sent her a little text. Hey, mom, you away? She didn't reply to way later. I'd already got the keys and was halfway to my job. But, man, anybody who knows me or even, you know, slightly knows me knows that my time, man, I try to be so efficient. I try to do as much as I can to make sure that everything goes smooth. Try to run plays with precision no matter what it is that I'm doing. So starting off the day, especially with some shit like that, I was like, ain't this about a bitch? Like I said, it's on me. Went to work, did what I had to do, made up for it, right? Rather than going in there and just, you know, doing the bare minimum, make sure that I had that shit dialed in and then some. So at least you feel accomplished with what it is that you did, smashing back, getting back, you know, into town. I'm like, all right, you know, at least I can make this point from the rest of this day on, precision-like, right? So I had it all going, man. I'm talking about got me ordered some food to pick up, so I knew how to eat a little something before I got started. Knew I was out of drink over here. I'm like, fuck it, let me go get a little douce. start pricing the shit out. I'm like, yo, you know what I mean? I usually fuck with GoPuff. They usually drop it off, BevMo, little driving shit. But I'm like, fuck that. Don't really feel like, you know, paying no fees or no tip or none of that shit right now. Went straight to the fucking, to the store down the way from where my food was, grabbed a drink. By the time I get out, I'm like, it should be good. Go over to the spot, pick up my food, everything's smooth, get back to the crib. Grub, clean up a little bit, right? My daughter said she wanted her boyfriend to come over after work. So I'm like, yeah, it is what it is. You know what I mean? Let me at least take care of my portion of this mess that way. When she get home, she can clean the house, make it presentable, have her people over, and it's all good. Now, usually, you know what I mean, a laptop's in one place. The notes are in another spot. Whatever it may be, right? But I got so much shit going on. I'm grabbing the Duce, grabbing the Chase, grabbing the book. Laptop already out there. That was half the battle, right? Got me a little glass. I'm like, all right, I should be cool. This second part of this shouldn't even be possible to happen. There's two different locks on the back door. Fucked around, you know what I mean, and realized I somehow, some way, locked myself out of the house now once again. Promise y'all, I couldn't make this shit up if I tried. Still, at that point, it's like, no harm, no foul. You locked into where you need to be at anyway, right? So it is what it is. The issue is, I know that this is a rarity for me, but for my children, the keys and not having them is kind of an everyday thing, especially my youngest. Usually, you know what I mean, from school now, recently with his basketball shit picking back up, he's got either conditioning or tryouts, whatever it may be. Keeps him, you know, a little bit busier for longer. I know from earlier that my middle son, he didn't bring his key on him because when I was at the door, I hit the family group text like, yo, is anybody around here with a key? He hit me back like I left it at the crib. I was like, fuck. My daughter's like, I'm at work. I was like, damn. The one day out the week that she starts that early, right? Usually it's a little later in the day. I'm like, it is what it is, man. But when I get locked out here in the garage now, I'm like, okay, it's about to be go time, right? Sit down, get everything set up, get all the sound bites into the little mixer. Get ready to push that record button, and what happens, man? Just Ruck's luck, bro. Some type of fucking crow. I called it Cheryl Crow for the hell of it. Must have been perched directly outside where I'm recording, like on the roof or something. Starts just going crazy. I'm like, this can't be, you know what I mean? This got to be some kind of joke. Definitely felt like they rebooted MTV Punk'd, and I was the first fucking guest. Needless to say, that's going on from a portion of time. I'm like, it is what it is. Started getting into the Duce. I'm like, you know what I mean? Make the best of whatever the fuck the situation is. Now, Cheryl Crow finally fucking flies off the perch, goes and does her own thing, right? She went from rehearsals to the show, good. At that point, my son hits me. This is exactly what I knew was going to happen. He's like, yo, okay, let me in the house. I'm like, bro, we both need to be letting the house, right? He's like, what? You locked out too?
What the feezy?
Yep, that's the case. So it turned into a kicking session, right? We just ended up chilling in the garage. Me and him, we lock it on basketball all the time. Of course, it's too early for any of the games to be on, even the East Coast joints. So I'm sitting here chilling, just looking through the fire stick for a second. And I'm like, fuck it, you know what I mean? Let them listen to the new music, you know what I mean? Shit I've been working on lately. Kids will tell you, you know what I mean? Straight up, it is what it is. They ain't going to sugarcoat nothing. Plus, it's the young generation. You got to kind of tap in and see how they're feeling about things. And I respect his ear for music, you know what I mean? So I'm like, that's what we're doing. All in all, I know my daughter gets off of work at 4. By the time she gets here, at least we can, you know, get in the crib. It is what it is. So chill, my son. Definitely no waste of time there. That was definitely a, you know, cool little tidbit to the day, but say all that to say this, finally now, after I had plans, you know, to get this pod done quick, get inside the crib and start doing some shit that needed to be done in the house, had to hit the wife, you know, I was like, yo, due to circumstances, this is going to be a later pod than I intended, and you know what I mean? She's just laughing at me like, bro, 2 times in 1 day. Fully agree with that. It was some shit, but hey, we here now. Enough of the bullshit. Let's get straight to it, and you know where we got to start. The 66th Annual Grammy Awards took place this weekend, Sunday at air, February 4th. Not sure if this joint was live or if this actually was recorded on Saturday. Kind of getting mixed signals. Nonetheless, the show went off and got mixed reviews. At least, you know, I'll be 100% honest with y'all. I can't be fully, you know, qualified for my takes due to the fact that I didn't actually watch the show. Like most, you know, saw the clips here and there, shit that's more prone to come through my algorithm based on what I listen to and what I fuck with. Let's just get to it, man. I mean, straight up, you know what, this show is hip-hop based. And to be 100% honest with y'all, I mean, me personally, I'm hip-hop based. So anything that I do, it's kind of going to fall into that wheelhouse. With that being said, you know, just the history of the Grammys and hip hop, rap, whatever you want to call it, hasn't always been the best. In the past, there was disrespect from the Grammys multiple times. Over and over, there was instances where people felt like the Academy got it wrong as far as where the awards went. More often than not, even who the nominees were. But these past issues between the Grammys and the culture reared their ugly heads once again. Like I said, I want to preface my comment by saying that, you know, I didn't watch the show in totality, but I did see enough. You know, they did the 50-year celebration of hip-hop. That was a Grammys presentation that was done prior to the show a while back now, right? But that being said, I mean, at the time, I was kind of, you know, happy that they gave them their own slot, you know what I mean? And that was the way I was looking at it at first. Like, okay, it's a whole big block of time that's dedicated to the culture, to hip-hop, to 50 years, to celebrating past, present, future, everything all in between. Now I'm kind of going back on them thoughts for just, you know, the way this shit was handled out here. Like, KRS-One was vocal about it. He said, man, at first they didn't want to air us. Didn't give a fuck. They would give, you know, first award don't exist. And when it does, it's not on TV. Then people aren't allowed to show up. Like, it was an unpopular opinion at the time because a lot of the OGs were happy to be able to get back, get their shine, do their thing. Hopefully, you know, get a buzz, get some of their music getting played again. However, after all this went down, I'm kind of feeling KRS a little bit more, I got to be honest. There's really no support until shit's beneficial for you, right? I mean, think about it. In the past, it was parental advisory stickers that had to get put on because, you know, they wanted to take us to war over lyrics. Fast forward all these years later, Young Thug's in the same boat, right? Now in actual court once again for way bigger circumstances. But I compare this shit to kind of like the weed laws, right? First, they got all these people locked up over minuscule amounts of marijuana. Then when it's beneficial to them, they're able to tax it and give, you know, business opportunities to those who are underneath their umbrella. All of a sudden, not only is it okay, but it's advertised, it's delivered, it's billboards, it's all over the place, right? Again, you got to look at it like, why am I, you know, comparing that to this? Is because, again, this year, the major awards for hip-hop were not aired. Why? You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to show a genre of music that is really driving all other aspects of music. I mean, you're advertising, regardless of what it is that you're looking at these days, from your fast food to hotels to anything sports related. It's all, you know, some type of hip-hop innuendo inside of it included. But when it comes time to now celebrate artists, at what's supposed to be the most prestigious stage, you know, the Grammy Awards and how these are supposed to be heralded as like the top of the top, right? It is what it is. You got to understand that that's just, you know, until there is something that we look at that is from the culture that we give that same type of onus to, that we know we put that type of value to, we're going to continue to be kind of at their disposal. You know what I mean? Whatever they decide to do is going to be something that we're going to have to be reactionary to, and it's not cool, but that also, too, falls on us a little bit. We got to be able to make our own shit prestigious enough to where their show now lacks any type of flavor, and it's just as bland as it should be, right? I do want to go out of my way, though, to say at least this. Over the past few years, the categories and the nominations have gotten a little more geared towards what I think is actual dope quality music. And when it came to hip-hop this year, they definitely got it right as far as who the awards went to. I want to shout out Killer Mike for his album Michael. Not only that, but getting a clean sweep at the Grammys this year, 3 for 3. Rap album of the year. Song of the year. Rap performance of the year. All in all, my guy was, you know, more than excited. Love to see it. This is somebody who is very deserving of it. And when he got his opportunity to grace the stage, he made sure that everybody knew.
The Grammy goes to Killer Mike. Michael.
Atlanta is a sweep. You cannot tell me that you get too old. You can't tell me it's too late. You can't tell me dreams come true. It is a sweep. It is a sweep. It is a sweep.
Clean sweep and deservingly so for the man Killer Mike. That Michael album was incredible. not only has he been putting out great efforts for the entirety of his career, but this one you could tell, you know what I mean, based on not only just the substance and the songs and, you know, the project in itself, but the rollout, the effort that was spent going out and telling the story behind this. The performances, as soon as, you know, live late night shows came back to TV, he was one of them that graced the stage more often than not and went there and didn't do the upbeat party song. He did that song that's going to cut into your soul, showed great emotion. And it was just good to see him going from having, you know, speak about sadder times to being able to be on the stage and be celebrated just for being who he was and putting forth the effort that he did. Back to the issues with the Grammys, though. They give it and they take it away, right? Killer Mike, on the same night that he clean sweeps and gets three of these awards, is actually arrested and escorted out of the Grammys in handcuffs. What the feezy? There's two ways of looking at this. First, we do the immature route, right? Is this not the most hip-hop thing ever? Especially at the Grammys, right? Oh, y'all don't fuck with us? Or you think this is, you know, some phase music? This is going to be here today, gone tomorrow. Oh, you feel like the music is just some bullshit, whatever, right? Well, in that case, let me come get three of the awards that are dedicated to this category, then be escorted out by police. You know, that, you know, one way you could look at it, like the way of NWA, the way of Two Live Crew. You know what I mean? We've always been combative and targeted, I guess, by law enforcement. This just seemed like it was extremely disrespectful to me, because this is the other way I look at it. What a fucking shame, right? According to Killer Mike, who was still in good spirits after all this, even while being walked out, you know, waving hi to people as much as he could with his hands in cuffs, still in good spirits. You can't, you know, you couldn't remove the air from underneath this guy's wings, being that he had just accomplished everything he set out to at this stage in his career, for making an album that was most, you know, personal to him. You definitely cannot ever, you know, dull that moment. But the fact that that man went up there and did that and accomplished everything, and then the lasting picture that you're going to see, or the last view of him on this day that should have been, you know, one of the greatest in his life, is a moment like that. The timing is off. According to him, it was an overzealous security guard, some type of altercation, you know, spawned from that. To me, I think you separate the fucking security guard. You tell Mike, hey, man, that's your warning. If it was anything even in that, you know, seriousness level. I feel like you got to understand, this man is riding a high that you couldn't buy. You really need to just, you know, get out of the way and let this guy celebrate his moment. But hey, if he ain't upset, and then I'll leave it at that. You know what I mean? I can't go to war for a guy who feels like he's still in victory mode. So it is what it is. But Grammys, y'all got to do better. Security, come on, man. There's other shit to do. You know what I mean? Go fucking try to get a picture of Beyonce like everybody else did. You know what I mean? Go figure something else out. Let this man, Killer Mike, live. But it is what it is. All in all, I don't even want to harp on that shit. I want to, again, celebrate Killer Mike for his amazing album, for his clean sweep, deservingly so of the hip-hop category, rap category, however the fuck you want to call it. Fuck you, Grammys. We still going to come back next year, shit on you all over again with some more dope shit. SZA, keep the claps going, man. Not to be overshadowed, she matched Killer Mike with 3 wins herself this night. Deservingly so as well. She was nominated for 9. I clearly think she could have possibly got more. I'll get to that later. But hey, man, best progressive R&B album for SOS. Best rap song for Snooze. Excuse me, R&B song for Snooze. My fault. And best pop duo group performance for Ghost in the Machine. Now, quick question. Why is there a, you know, best progressive R&B album, and then R&B album of the year? Wouldn't, in order for you to be album of the year, would have to fall into something that's the most progressive? Wouldn't you have to tie those two in together? Wouldn't that be part of the criteria? And I'm not going to hate, but I will document later, you know, where it went to. And surprising, you know, it is what it is. I'll get to it soon, and I'm happy for the young lady who got it as well. So I'm not going to go, you know, completely overboard. I just want to say that SZA was amazing in her acceptance. You could tell that she was ecstatic for every award that she got, just to be in the moment, celebratory the entire time. You could tell she was on cloud 9. And she deserves it, man. She put together one of the dopest, most experimental, most, you know, put yourself out there vulnerable albums. as far as just the chances that she took musically. Coming off of the last album where everybody heralded it as so, you know, probably the dopest album of the year last year as well in the R&B realm of things. Charting for as long as it did. Now this SOS one, I don't believe it's left the top 100 since it released. And this was last year, so hey man, SZA. Continue to do what you do. Continue to think outside the box. Continue to push the narrative and move the needle. More success to come your way inevitably, man. That's some real shit. More praise for Victoria Monet. Always been a fan of this lady since she came onto the scene. I'll be lying. I don't know, you know, how far her actual career dates back. I do know that she was a ghostwriter for many people and helped them get to their accolades and their awards. But now taking the spotlight and placing it upon herself, she was able to get some big victories here for Best New Artist, first and foremost. Want to show love because she's a Sacramento native. In that category, manager beat out Coco Jones, The War and the Treaty, Noah Kahan, Fred Again, Ice Spice, Jelly Roll, and Gracie Abrams. She also won R&B Album of the Year for her album Jaguar 2. Pardon all the applause, but it's warranted. Now, this is the portion where I got a kind of cape, and I'm in the cape for my girl Summer Walker. I've been a huge fan of her ever since I've heard her music. Anything that she does, whether it's the single or the, you know, B-side, you know, more album cuts from her joints, I feel like everything is just so dope, so creative. She got a lot of flack in the past for not being the most outgoing as far as her performances were concerned. She had to kind of get out of herself, out of her own way, right? Like, she's a very introverted person. And then when it was time to go do the shows, she seemed like she was a little shy. Didn't always put forth what the fans wanted to see. But you showed up because of the product that she gave you in you know, in the album. So you got to just understand, if this is somebody that you rock with them regardless, right? I say all that to say this. I love the fact that she was involved in this category again, but I feel like she's been snubbed. Not just this album, but since she's coming to the scene. Before I could say all that wholeheartedly, I got to really be honest in this instance. I need to go listen to Miss Monet's album. I've heard certain singles and I enjoy what I've heard, but I haven't heard the album totality. So before I could completely say that Summer Walker put forth the better effort, I will have to go listen to Victoria Monet's album and then come back with a more educated opinion. But I do want to say that I know that this means the world to Summer Walker. Her management team has been very vocal on podcasts I listen to talking about, hey, man, I remember last year around this time when the last album didn't win, they were like, yo, what do we have to do? How are we continuously losing when we know she's putting together the best project? A lot of people felt that way this year, you know what I mean? And it's one of those things. It's at the... You know, it's in the hands of too many different people. It's an entire board that votes on these things. It's not, you know, fans. And even when they say fans vote is what determines wins in certain shows, I don't believe that 100% either. I just feel like Summer Walker deserves her moment to grace that stage, grab her Grammy, and be given her flowers for the great works that she does. And hopefully that comes soon. I don't want her to get discouraged based on, you know, accolades that she doesn't get from the Academy. More so look at the praise that you get from the people who you're doing this music for and take that as a trophy that they can never take from you. That being said, when you speak of snubs, you gotta speak of somebody who is definitely pissed off, the man Travis Scott. I didn't know this, but Travis Scott was nominated 10 times, has yet to win an award. I didn't go through the rabbit hole of looking and seeing, you know, which songs were eligible in the past and who beat them out. The reason why I'm not doing that is because I got to be honest, man. This year, of course, Killer Mike was the hands-down winner, in my opinion. If you didn't agree, you didn't agree. This ain't going to help your case at all, though. While performing, he took his frustration out on the set. While performing his song, Fiend, altered the lyrics in order to say, you know, they slept on me 10 times, then proceeded to beat the shit out of the set. While it was his set on the stage for his performance, many people may have thought this was just part of the show, but in all actuality, it was a tantrum from Travis. And I don't know if this is going to help your case, fam. I don't know where he got all these chairs. This shit resembled like the under of the ring on some wrestling shit. Man had all the chairs in the world and proceeded to not only bash them, but throw them at portions of the set. Thank God nobody else was in the area to get injured. But I don't know if this is a good look for you, Trav. We can discuss, you know, security or the scrutiny, rather, you know, of his shows of the past. We all know about the Astroworld incident. Not going to go into detail about that. A lot of people have gone out of the way to say that there's a lot of demonic, like, visuals attached to his show. We hear that about a lot of the new artists that just seems to be, you know, what the youngsters is fucking with. Does that mean that they're wholeheartedly into some dark and evil shit? No. I think it's just the emotion that they could relate to at the time. And I'll leave it at that. But when you're talking about helping your case going forward, I don't think this does that for you, especially in front of a smug-ass academy, for one. And for two, I don't think he's, you know, I don't really think he's making a mark. To be honest with you, you're not really saying shit, Travis. I'm not trying to be an asshole, bro, but in 30-plus years, do you really think that your music is just going to stand the test of time? It seems more like a for-the-moment vibe, right? It's like something that's for now. The sounds of music continuously changes. Do I think that you have the ability to adapt and you know, eventually move along with the times? Of course. You're not somebody who follows a trend. You're a trendsetter, and I will never take that away from you. But coming off of, you know, why you had to take a hiatus, mixed with the fact that although you did do the best, you know, number one, you did the best numbers for a release in 2023 as far as rap was concerned. But how long did that continue to chart? Is it one of those albums where it drops and then, you know, you come out with a highly successful first week and continue to build? I know those numbers eventually have to drop a little bit, but do you continuously add to those totals? Did your music last from last year into this year? I know you're doing highly successful numbers at your show, and that's to be expected. It's really where you make your money anyway, so I guess, you know, that's more beneficial to you. But when these kids grow up, are they going to carry this music along with them? Is this going to be something that when their kids grow up, they're going to hear them playing this shit while, you know, they're on their own personal free time and be like, hey, I remember that? I don't think so. It's not 100% your fault, you know what I mean? You found a niche and you started making music that's getting you success, and you can never say, hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But what I'm saying is, what are you really saying in your music? What's really thought-provoking? What's really carrying any substance? Like, is anybody really going to take this with them in the future and be like, hey, bro really said some shit. I could relate to that. It's for the kids right now. When they grow up, they're going to have responsibilities, and they're going to look at life in a different way. And even if they do feel at times like they want to act out, it ain't going to be throwing chairs at a set on the stage because I didn't get an award. J. Cole's been nominated 13 times, has yet to receive an award. So for you to go crazy off your little 10 nominations, you got to dial it back a little bit, bruh. If any of your music still lasts the test of time 10, 20, 30 years from now, you better thank Drake for that. Not trying to be an asshole, I'm just being real with you. It is what it is, bro. Moving on to somebody who might deservingly have a beef, but not for the reason that she feels she should. Nicki Minaj can't seem to catch a break, man. It's not her fault. At least not this time. The Grammy's ex, formerly known as Twitter account, mistakenly tweeted that her and Ice Spice had won Best Rap Song for the Barbie World track. However, as we know, that honor went to Killer Mike, which in turn adds credence to the, you know, her industry keeps playing games with me narrative. But all in all, that shit was just hilarious. What the feezy? Now, I'd be pissed if I was her as well. You don't make mistakes like that. It's never happened in the past, but just so happens that here on a night where Jay-Z is getting honored with the Dr. Dre Lifetime Achievement Award, anybody who knows that Megan Thee Stallion is Roc Nation. They seem to have a lot of investment in this young lady. We all know that when Tory Lanez and that verdict came down, that the father went out of his way to call out Roc Nation. Felt like they went out of their way to make sure that court, you know, that court case went in her direction. in her favor, rather. But it just seems like, all right, you know, Elliot Wilson made comments. For those of y'all who don't know, Nicki Minaj is doing a rollout for her album. The Kid Kai Cenat, I don't know if y'all familiar, but this dude does streams. He had her on the show. They're dancing. There's not really no dialogue as far as talking about the album. She did that in other places. But she's just touching all the bases, making sure she's got all of her, you know, I's dotted and her T's crossed. And in turn, Elliot Wilson makes a statement like, oh, this is media, or this is hip-hop media now. This is publicity or whatever he said. I can't remember wholeheartedly. I think it was something like journalism. Is this hip-hop journalism now? For some reason, Nicki Minaj aims her attack at him but mentions Jay again, like, get Jay-Z's dick out your mouth, whatever, pause. And it just goes to show there's got to be something underlined there, right? There's got to be some back and forth, some type of ill feelings between the Roc Nation camp, Jay-Z, any of his affiliates, and Nicki Minaj and what they got going. Now, I would be pissed if I was Nicki too, but not as mad as I would be at the Academy if they gave an award to fucking Nicki Minaj and Ice Spice for Barbie World, of all things. Again, no substance. Just some bullshit for a soundtrack. Ass shaking, pink backgrounds, kitty bubblegum bullshit. Don't worry about that one, Nicki. Go do something else. You just dropped an album. There's some cuts on there. I'm sure that everybody joins going to be eligible for a lot of things next year. You might play games and remove it. Go the Drake route, who also had more disparaging comments. We all know that Drake pulled his records from being eligible for a Grammy for the fact that he didn't want to be involved in it, was trying to do his own little type of protest. Young Money just seems to not be fucking with it as a whole. It is what it is. But come on, Nicki. You got to be honest with yourself. That just wasn't it. Now, before we leave the Grammy discussion, Jay-Z, who I mentioned earlier, did get an award, the Dr. Dre Lifetime Achievement Award. He used this moment, though, to air his grievances, or at least his displeasure with what's been going on with his wife, Beyonce. In his clip, he had this to say.
Obviously, it's subjective because, you know, it's music and it's opinion-based. But, you know, some things, you know, I don't want to embarrass this young lady, but she has more Grammys than everyone and never won Album of the Year. So even by your own metrics, that doesn't work. Think about that. The most Grammys, never won Album of the Year. That doesn't work.
Say what you say. What I liked about it is he brought his daughter, Blue Ivy, to the stage, just standing hand in hand, discussing that, you know, her mother, his wife. Beyonce, again, the same way that she looked when it was the whole Taylor Swift, Kanye West situation. She's got that media-trained smile on, right? Trying not to give any emotion or agree with it with any facial expressions or anything. Just kind of stand there. I don't know. I'm going to be honest. Everyone in the attendance used their night to walk up to her, snap photos, treated it like a meet and greet, right? So they were giving praise to her and honored the entire night. But the honor from the Grammys seems to continuously elude her as far as the major award goes, right? Say what you say, I don't believe the Renaissance this year was really the one. You could really make a strong case for Lemonade, in my opinion. Definitely could have got the nod in my mind. For what it stood for the moment, for the music, I feel like it was a dope project. As far as Renaissance is concerned, you can argue for it either way, right? You could say, well, maybe, you know, based on the style of music she made, it could have possibly touched more ears, reached more fans. We already know she has, you know, the quote-unquote beehive and just a cult following of her own. But this discussion was just had recently, right? You talk about Club Shay Shay and, what is my guy, Chad Ochocinco. They discussed this. You know, he was like, Beyonce, and Shannon was like, nah, man, she don't move the needle like Taylor. For whatever reason that is, I ain't going to hate on Taylor Swift. I'm just going to leave it at that. Like, hey, she got it again this year. I don't listen to her music to be able to give you an honest and educated opinion there either, but I will say that for all the albums that Beyonce has dropped, from my personal taste, I don't think that this year was the year to make that statement. Last year, I'm not 100% sure what took that honor for the album of the year, but I do know that that would have been the hill that I would have died on. It would have been that album, and made an argument for that release from Beyonce rather than this Renaissance one, just from my personal opinion, but it is what it is. Moving on from the Grammys. Let's talk about the concert. Finally kicked off. Big as the what? The J. Cole and Drake collaborative concert is underway. The first shows have been starting to, you know, take off. We're seeing some visuals from this. We're seeing different sets. You know, a few different things made headlines, right? Including, obviously, the stage set for Drake, which included a huge brawl. It's a play on his experience that he had at the For All the Dogs tour. Then, of course, there was an opening assisted by none other than Stephen A. Smith. Kind of a first take segment dedicated to their show. But to me, the only real news that came out and held any kind of substance to me was when J. Cole discussed his upcoming album.
Right now, I'm at the tail end of working on this album I've been working on for a long time. It's called The Fall Off, you know what I mean? I don't know how many people know about that, but I feel like I ain't even said that shit out loud, but I'm right there. And as I approach the end, I just be thinking to myself, I just be thinking shit.
Definitely dope to know that we got a new project coming. Bittersweet to those who are a little bit more tapped in. This is rumored to be not only his next album, but if you let Cole tell it, his last album as well. I don't know, man. I got to be honest with you. Any true artist that loves this shit the way that you could tell he does, obviously, I don't think you're able to just walk away like this in your prime while you're, you know, making some of the best music of your career, continuously getting better, giving an open door to those under your umbrella doing what none of the other, you know, two that are considered part of that big three, which you have been able to do. Drake hasn't put nobody on. Rather, he's waiting for somebody to come on with the brand new, you know, hype or the new flow or the new vibe and gone over and kind of stole their sauce. He's done it to plenty of artists, you know, hopped on their big single, tried to do a remix, ended up, you know, taking the rights to it and running away with the accolades for it, right? As Fetty Wap, as Maconan, shit, Megan Thee Stallion. Go down the line. Kendrick. He's trying to do his thing with his PG Lang. He's got Baby Keem under his umbrella now. I don't know if there's any more artists or anything that's else slated to come, but the way that he drops, you know, so with so much time in between, you can't really expect anything like that to gain enough traction for you to get that off the ground. You got to be a little bit more active in the same way that Cole was. Even if he wasn't making his own albums for a portion of the time, he would go do these collaborative efforts, whether it was the Dreamville compilations, where not only are they working with Dreamville artists, but also, you know, people from all over the map, TDE affiliates, tapping into all different coasts, all different regions. On top of that, you know, he's done the Gangsta Grills joint, the D-Day, which I just listened back to not too long ago. That's a slept-on project. Definitely suggest y'all go back and give that another listen. In my opinion, I don't think he's going to be able to walk away like that. Now, I know that Drake has come out after this statement was made and said that he heard the album and it's a for sure classic. I wouldn't doubt that. But if you're making some of your greatest projects, if you're doing some of your greatest work, if you're going on a feature run that people are arguing, you know, is comparable to what Lil Wayne did when he was on his crazy ass feature run, then you just got to take this and ride with it, man. You got to continue to build and, you know, add to your legacy, which I think he'll do. Can't be 100% sure, but I mean, hey, the ones who care about it the way that he does, it's not an easy ask just to get up and pack your things and go. On top of that, he's at an age where even if he decides to take some time away, he can still come back before he's looked at like the elder statesman. At least, you know, the way that like a Jay-Z is looked at, the way that Nas is looking at. People are saying the resurgence, but he's got Hit-Boy alongside him that makes that youth come along with you. Cole, I think, could take 3, 4, 5 years, do something like Kendrick does, come back and still have the masses. Just as a selfish fan, I hope that's not the case. Now we get into the cause for celebration portion of the show, my favorite part of it. You know what I mean? Some good news. If the 3 Grammy night for Killer Mike was one of those greatest memories or greatest moments of his life, despite whatever happened afterwards, which I'm not really going to discuss anything about that going forward, that moment, you know, didn't live as the greatest moment of his life for very long. The very next day, I'm pretty sure it was replaced. In November of last year, Mike was, doing his media rounds and shared the fact that his son had been waiting for a match for a kidney for at least 3 years. Was in need of a kidney transplant, was on the list and just waiting for a match. Wouldn't you know, the day after my guy is, blessed and giving his praise for his album and sharing all that he did and becoming that vulnerable as he did on that project, that the very next day, not only was that match found, but the transplant took place. The most warranted applause of the entire show. Definitely go to Killer Mike and his family. Clearly, God is shining the light over this man and his family, and deservingly so. Definitely want to send love to his son and praying for a full and quick recovery. And just, very happy to hear something like that. Wouldn't you know that this all takes place on the 5-year anniversary of Philadelphia Freeway? Definitely a factor out there in Philadelphia and just in music in general. Took to his socials to let everybody know that he was also celebrating his kidney transplant. This was the anniversary of his. I wanted to take time to read his direct quote. Freeway says, "Grateful to God as I celebrate my 5th kidney anniversary. On February 5th, 2019, I received the incredible gift of life, a new kidney. 5 years on and I'm still going strong. My battle with kidney failure and dialysis inspired me to launch Freedom Thinkers Academy. Today, the company is thriving, empowering, and graduating students. Turning adversity into opportunity has been my greatest achievement. If you're facing renal failure and dialysis, remember, there is hope. Keep your faith in God and stay focused. Hashtag kidney anniversary, grateful, hopeful, at donors one." Freeway, if you know, is a man that has endured more than, you can imagine. And it amazes me that he just continues to remain sane for one and grateful for two. This is somebody who clearly has an immense amount of faith, an immense amount of gratitude and appreciation just for every day. And for that, you just got to tip your hat. Again, God bless Philadelphia Freeway and his family and just continued health, wealth, and prosperity, fam. Now, staying in that same feeling of celebration, let's bring this one back home a little bit, man. I was so shocked to see that it had been this long. But even then, you just got to know that the reason why you can't really put a time on these things is because this man don't stop. Where were y'all at 18 years ago? February 2nd. Did you know that 18 years to the date of the release of this album, this single, E-40 and Kick the Sneak, Tell Me When to Go, is now certified platinum. I still remember being a young kid, man, and you'd get home from school or whatever it is that you was doing at the time, and you would go to 106 and Park. That was kind of like, out of the box for those of y'all who are a little bit older and had that experience. It was like Rap City, it was 106 and Park. I mean, if he was a Teeny Bop or TRL, sometimes they would have somebody dope up there. But I mean, I remember this shit releasing on there, and to be honest with y'all, it was after it had done its work, in the Bay and definitely in California. So when it got there, although it was a little bit older and we had heard it, more often than not, it was still just so dope to see some shit like that highlighted on a national show like that, showing our culture and what we did. Still remember the black and white video, but it was still colorful as anything that was ever displayed on that channel. So congratulations to the OGs, man. Keep what's happening.
I'm off that
want to congratulate the OGs on the continued success and everything they've done, not only for the culture, but for the region as well. Can't skip this. Not to say that they ever would, but they definitely should not hold their breath for praise from this next guy. He had his words to say about West Coast music, kind of aimed it a little bit more at LA's region, but hey. Academics, DJ Academics, Ack, whatever the fuck you guys call him, right? This guy, recently while sitting with this guy by the name of Poetic Flacco, I believe this is a West Coast platform as well, gave his thoughts on the music from California and I guess more specifically the LA scene.
You know, like with all due respect to everybody in California, LA has just not been the center of hip hop in so long.
Sure.
So like when y'all are covering LA centric things, when y'all covering LA centric things and you know, obviously there's going to be people always interested in gangs and stuff like that. Okay, the gangs and stuff like that, cool. Mm. But LA hip hop, nobody cares about, like with all due respect. So it's like, it's the South and the East still.
All right, man, say what you say, right? It is what it is. He's entitled to his opinion. I'm going to get to that later, but I want to give y'all a little backstory for those of y'all who don't really know about Academics. This is a guy who rose to fame on the back of mass murders, you know what I mean? Not to say it was like, you know, one of these active shooter situations where it was, you know, six plus, you know, people murdered at once. What I'm saying is, after trying different routes with his social media accounts or whatever he was doing, he found success on YouTube when he created a channel called The War in Chirac. Now, I don't know if he was the one who coined that phrase, that name, the Chirac name, but he definitely brought it to national highlight. His content revolving around the gang culture in Chicago was what ultimately jump-started his career. Now, I'm not going to completely put any of this on this guy's, you know, jacket and say that he's the cause of any of this, but when you talk about the Chicago drill scene and the success and the heights that it reached, many of artists have come out and unfortunately been taken out. Not too many of these guys who were doing this music that, that caught, you know, popularity were able to grow with their music and get their flowers. Rather just get theirs on top of a gravesite, and that, to me, is unfortunate. So for him to come out and make these statements, although I don't 100% disagree with what he's saying as far as, you know, the focal point of music, you can't really lie. We know for the majority of masses that we're hearing a lot of shit from the South, New York, you know, it is what it is, sometimes and sometimes not. But for you to mention, you know, oh, the gang culture, reaching to success in the heights that you did based off of what you were covering in the past, like, nah, man. You here now. Do something else. He tried different routes, and then when he caught, you know, some traction with that, that's what he decided to exploit. Now, he's also been involved in countless back and forths with men and women of the culture. Took aim at West Coast rap this time. But like I said, man, despite all that I just said, I can't completely disagree with his take. My rebuttal would be, well, look at TDE and their impact, right? Talk about a J-Rock who was catching traction, had a hype man by the name of Kendrick Lamar who went over and took rap over. Anytime he drops, you know, it brings that championship route back over here to California, and the chip has to be won in L.A. if Kendrick is dropping music. That's just, you know, kind of just reality. It's not really an arguable fact. Of course, the entire TDE camp, Schoolboy Q, J-Rock, Ab, Soul, Kendrick. And you got others, man. What about Nipsey Hussle? You look at the lesser known, maybe like a Problem or G Perico. Look at Vince Staples and his success right now. I know a lot of those people I just mentioned recently are gang affiliates or had some type of gang ties. But you can go to the Bay. LaRussell, what he's doing right now, getting praise from all of the greatest producers, all those people who we respect in the rap game, regardless of what region they're in, are reaching out to this young man and saying, man, we like what you do. I just saw the post for him reaching out to Mos Def saying, man, we got to tap in. That's an artist who's doing shit organically, his own way, with a brand new take on everything, a brand new spin on everything he's doing, and getting the success of all of his peers, the ones that we respect. Same could be said about Simba. In his short time here, at least in the limelight, he's gotten, you know, garnered the attention of all the OGs and getting all the praise from them as far as somebody who's taking that torch and doing right with it. Lesser known to the masses, but Neff the Pharaoh to me has one of the dopest flows and energies in rap right now. Well, I say the difference is a lack of support for each other. So few have gained traction that lately when they do, it seems like it's either a crab in the barrel mentality or it's just focal, you know, the focal point is themselves, and deservingly so to an extent. But the only way that you really crack the door down and bring that spotlight back over here where everybody's going to be able to get a shot or your run could have longevity is by finding some type of camaraderie. Look at Atlanta. For the most part, they support each other, collab on each other's projects, make sure that everything stays in-house, right? They show love, man. Think about when one of them pops off, the South in general, whether it be from Florida, Atlanta, Louisiana, they make sure to work with each other, collab, and build on their fan bases, cross-promotion that turns into cult followings. New York artists, you see joint projects from people, you see them form like makeshift groups that aren't necessarily something that's going to last for the longevity of time. What I mean by that is they're not going to stay in this group and form and never do solo projects. Look at Jada, you know, working with whoever it may be. The Locks, a staple in New York music. The Dave East of the world working with Votto and Lloyd Banks. Shit like that continuously happens, and you see things like this where the OGs over there are able to at least last long enough to form these relationships, both personal and working. And in turn, it works for them as far as, you know, continuing to add time to their careers and their relevance. On the West Coast, you see a lot of like solo artists putting out a bunch of volume, a lot of EPs, a lot of mixtapes, but how much effort is put into making, you know, music that's going to last the test of time? For us, that falls into the Kendricks, the Nipseys. I like Vince Staples' music, but I don't think he's put together something that's going to, you know, forever be looked at like a classic just yet. I think if Kendrick dropped more frequently, a light would shine over here and inspire others from our region to follow that same type of blueprint. Saw what he did when he got that Black Panther soundtrack. You saw SOB, RBE up on that shit. Bunch of different artists. People were able to go and get shine on the album that was definitely going to get listened to at high volume that otherwise probably wouldn't have been heard from. Like I said, a lot of these mixtapes, but how many cohesive projects? How many are able right now to build a quality discography that's in turn going to start that fan base that's going to move with them wherever they go? I look at the artists like G Perico, Rucci, P-Lo, All Black, Neff the Pharaoh, Simba, La Russell, and wonder why none of them have what we could call a classic record. Album, rather. All this talent over here, all the talent in the world, we say shit with the dopest vernacular in the entire world, but there's no collaborative tours, there's no festivals, no online media presence as a whole. And when there is one, it's kind of putting out the wrong kind of messaging, I would say, right? That's why you have an academic talking about, yeah, the gang culture. But enough of that, man. There's too much dope shit over here. Back in the days, it was pimp culture. It was Mackin. It was hood, like anthems, right? You think about all the way back to 93 till infinity. You think about Looney's I Got Five on It. You think about E-40 classic tracks. The Click. Shit like that hasn't happened in a long time. And once it does, we might see a change. I want to highlight Ghazi and say that I love the work that he's doing over there at Empire, distributing, you know, a lot of different music for a lot of different people. But he's got the likes of like Fat Joe, Cameron, Styles P, people like this who are coming from the East Coast, already have a stronghold over the game, and now they're just taking advantage of his opportunity to do better business than the major label would. If you put that effort into attaining local talent, lesser known, you could probably spawn not only new careers, but give opportunities to others without notoriety, that people will look at him as the sole responsible person for that, right? All in all, though, you can't put the blame on one person. This is a result of many different people's actions, and it's got to start somewhere. So I think right now, you know, with the Ghazi, with the La Russell, with the Simba catching the notoriety that they are, at least for Northern California and the Bay Area, something we definitely got to look at under a microscope and see how we could do things better and make sure that when we're discussed, it's not somebody from the outside who's talking about the West Coast music and not only disrespecting, but not even really acknowledging the Bay. Simply my thoughts. I'll tell you what, this hurricane-like weather definitely acknowledged the Bay over this past Sunday. This weather was definitely something we're not used to. Crazy over this weekend with hurricane force wind gusts. Some reaching an eclipse in 100 miles per hour, to be honest.
What the feezy?
Majority of this was in Marin County, Santa Clara County as well, with 102 mile per hour winds recorded in Pablo Point. All in all, there was 10 different zones that reached 89 miles per hour or above. It's definitely not normal for the Bay Area. Something to pay attention to, definitely. I've been chilling with the homies that Saturday night. Tapped in. We're supposed to get a poker game going. That didn't really come to light. Ended up chilling, just chopping it up, sipping. Shooting some dice in Coney tonight. But of all the days to be laid up in bed, hungover, that was definitely the right one to pick. You could just lay there and in silence hear the storming, the winds, the rain. It just sounded crazy out there. So definitely something to look at. Floods happening all over the place. I heard my son say that one of his homies from down south said that his area was completely flooded. I'm driving around for work and seeing, you know, bridges that usually had a lot of gap in between where I'm at, and the water looking like shit's starting to fill up. It's crazy out here, man. This ain't a political show, but, you know, there's this complete negligence to whatever they want to call climate control. You just got to kind of look at the facts right now and think about things. And just the changes that we've experienced in my lifetime. I'm only 38. And over the past few years, I've seen different things weather-wise that I had never seen living in the same place. So, hey, something to think about. Before we get all the way out of the Bay, man, we know I discussed Keith Lee and his visit over here and what he was trying to do for the food tour at Volume. I know y'all probably tired of hearing about all that shit. But there's a different take on it now. We got some other people. This is a collaborative effort from L.A. to the Bay. Look at that. Full circle, right? Shout out to Figmunity doing their thing. These are guys who used to be involved with Adam 22's, whatever that shit's called, No Jumper, I believe, right? That's since gone to shit. They found a way to branch out and create their own platforms. Figmunity is one that's caught a whole lot of traction. Two gentlemen that are a part of that joint said regardless of what Keith Lee did while he was over here, I know he tried and chose to move on. But the folks from the Fig are doing their own food tour, which began in the town.
Man, we are in Oakland, California.
Oakland, California.
With a special guest, Ace Girl Cheeks, a.k.a. Illa.
We're here at Pierre, right here in Oakland, California. Shout out Illa.
Somebody cutting the wings?
How long has it been since you cut
it? Hey, do your thing, man. Cut it however you want to cut it.
It's been a while, you know what I'm saying? But you cut the wing. You cut the wing.
Man, fuck, man. Man, nigga?
And then you come down the middle. Hey, Sam, you want to hire me?
You want a job?
Nigga, why are we getting these little ass bitches?
Wait, motherfucker. Hey,
big come shout to out. Pierre in Oakland, California, the motherfucking town. Hey, like, comment, and subscribe. And shout out motherfucking Oakland, but I ain't talking about the A's.
Oh, man, why you got to do that? It is what it is, man. I know that's definitely not the same style you're used to hearing from a Keith Lee, but nonetheless, this might be something that translator lasts a little bit longer in the Bay Area. So shout out to those guys for doing what they did. Coming out, shining a light on some of the talented chefs and kitchens out here in the Bay. Definitely going to continue to keep an eye on that. Before we get out of here, I want to make sure to shed some light on this Soul Bloom concert. The lineup has been dropped for 2024. This is something that I've always wanted to make it out to. It's in Sacramento, Discovery Park to be exact. Always have dope lineups this year. You know, not much difference. Snow Allegra will be the headliner on Friday, May 3rd, 2024. Followed up by Omar Apollo, Pink Panthers, Dom Kennedy, and T-Fly. JoJo, Umi, Maida, Naomi Sharon, Raheem, Lekon, and Amindi. Saturday, Ketramine. That's a group put together by Ketronada and Amine. Both of them had solo success, put their efforts together and came out with a dope album that was highly heralded last year. Definitely something to check out. Joining them on that Saturday lineup, Masego, Sir, Wale, Coda the Friend, Jordan Ward, Amalu, Kamari, Sam Henshaw, Nate Curry, and Harris Rudman. Sunday, May 5th, 2024. Headliner, SZA. Party Next Door will also be accompanying her on Sunday. Ari Lennox, Dolce, Tusi, Arya Starr, Chase Shakur, Leon Thomas, Kari, and Cherry 22. Now, if I'll be 100% honest with y'all, I'm going to keep it a buck. Of all the lineups that I've seen in the past, this one does have a lot of names on it that I'm not 100% familiar with. But to see Snow, to see SZA, and even some of these under artists, you know what I mean? Ameda, who just does dope-ass shit R&B-wise. Some definitely to check out, especially in the smooth place like Sacramento. This is May 3rd, 4th, and 5th, 2024. As soon as these tickets start going on sale, I'll let y'all know so you can go snatch yours up. Hopefully able to make it out there this year. Go see what that shit's talking about. Now, Patreon, that's what I'm talking about before we get all the way out of here. Definitely going to be doing a sports show tomorrow, followed by a Patreon exclusive. Then after that, brief hiatus. We'll let the Super Bowl weekend go down. I'm going to start focusing on this music, making sure the next Patreon show got something fresh and brand new to drop with y'all. Got some things I've been working on there in the tuck. Reached out to the folks at the Infinity Posse today. Also talked to the brother Shiny Bo, TM. Jason Mack, like you heard earlier, man, we're getting the whole family involved. Like I said, I'm going to reiterate it once again. If you do have music you want to submit to get played, highlighted, previewed, premiered, you want to sit down, have an interview, do a talk, call in, discuss what you're dropping, your new project, let me know. Reach out, whether it's on my socials or, like I said, unprofessionalafpodcast@gmail.com. And we're going to make that shit happen. Once again, J Smack, Mike Rose, into you.
The keys to the city.
229 is in the books. Still a whole lot more shit to do, but we'll be right back. Shout out J Smack, home team, what up?
They all stunned by the strut in your wall, asking if you're pregnant by that glow that you got. Checking out your finger, what if that question got popped? Because you smile like a girl that's got a Tiffany box. They wanna know, did you get a big raise? Did you get a new job? Did you find a new place? Did you find a new man? Did you get some bomb dick? Did you hit J Smack? Did you get the bag? See, they wanna know, they wanna get a double dose. Yeah, I'ma give it to them both. Like who the dose out of you?
Y'all know we're going to stay busy. Right now, I got some shit to do, getting straight back into the family thing. But I will holler at y'all very soon. Till next time, find what makes you happy and return the favor. I'm going to holler at y'all later. Go on.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what's got into her. This nigga Mike Rose, big dude, went hurt. Because when you ain't hurt, I'll be juicing her about a coup de fur. I make the coup de squirt. Goddamn, this bitch bad like Lucifer. Michael, take her both down if there was two of her. Then I'm deucing her. Then I send her back home like a souvenir. But dude, I swear, if you ain't aware, got your Sonny Cootie on me, but I keep it clear. We gon' keep it there. She keep a secret swear. That's why you see her with a smirk when she sneak a stare. You got all your girls asking why you peeping here. Why you speaking where? Are you creeping here? Why you acting hella different when your peeps is near? But they really wanna know if you keep a share.
Unprofessional as Fuck Podcast.